Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and maybe even join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We have that telephone number up and running. It's toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to get you on the air if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'll love to hear from you tonight. Well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would just bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement and a help to somebody this evening. And Lord, we do pray that we could point people to Christ through the things that we talk about this evening and help people to have a greater understanding and confidence in the Word of God as well. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. And we've got a caller, I believe, actually coming in here right now. So we're going to get started. I believe we have Dave in Strongsville calling. And Dave, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, good evening.
Good evening, sir. You're cutting off a couple times already. I hope we get to talk.
All right. Well, you're coming in fine now. And reminder, our listeners, if you have problems getting us on the air, you can always go to the website for the radio station, whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And the program's streaming live on the air or on the internet right now as well. But welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you very much, sir. I hope the night's been treating you so well so far.
Good so far.
I'd like to talk to you about the book of Joel, if we may.
The book of Joel?
Yes, Joel 2, maybe the last 10 verses of Joel 2.
All right, let me get turned over to Joel here. And it's one of them shorter books that they call them the minor prophets. It's not that it's a minor prophet by any means. It's just shorter in terms of the words, the number of words that he has. Joel chapter, what chapter do you want?
Number 2, the middle one.
All right, Joel chapter 2, and I think you said toward the end?
23 through 32, the last 10 would be fine.
All right, verse 23 here, and let's see. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, the first month. Is that where you want?
Amen, brother.
All right.
Wonderful message.
Yes, and he says, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer word, my great army which I sent among you. That's an interesting passage right there alone. Correspond that to Malachi, if I can divert for just a second, let's come back to Joel here a second. But there's something that a lot of people miss in Malachi. And hold your finger there in Joel. Let me just go over there real quick. That talking about his army that he sent among them in Malachi chapter 3. It says, starting verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there not shall be room enough to receive it. And then notice what he says in verse 11.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And you look at that, what he said there in Joel chapter 2, he's saying that they're coming back to him, and he told them to rejoice, and he's talking about how they would prosper. And there's what he said in verse in Joel 2:25 that we read, "I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." And their harvest was actually reduced because of pestilence and things like that, because they weren't following God. They weren't giving to God. They weren't being obedient to God. And when they turned around and they began to obey God and do what God asked them to do, he began to bless them, and he, well, just like he said in Malachi, he rebuked the devourer, didn't he?
Yeah, and he made up for lost time.
Yeah, that's a great promise. And okay. And then here's what he says after that. He says in verse there, Joel 2:26, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." And he says in verse 27, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." That's amen. Amazing.
Amen. Amen. And then the Spirit comes in after that. The Spirit ain't really even there yet. Wait until the Spirit comes in, the prophecies, and wow. I mean, they're going to be belly full and full of everything else.
Right, and then God's going to be speaking to them and through them. And, of course, the next portion of the chapter here, when you get into verse 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward," which tells us in the future, and future events, "that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my Spirit." We can see some of this fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And we see much of this fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when God poured His Spirit out onto the land, and we see a number of things here that also are going to take place yet in the future. For instance, during the tribulation period, when He shows His wonders there in verse 30, "in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall," then He says, "the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord shall come," or "great and terrible day of the Lord come." And so he's talking about future events from the day of Pentecost. That's talking about the age that we live in.
Amen,
going
bro.
Up into the tribulation period. And he says in verse 32, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And, you know, that echoes, what is it, Romans 10:17, I think, that says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," what, "shall be saved."
Hello.
Delivered. So there's salvation in Joel, isn't there?
Yeah, when he calls, you just answer the phone and say, hello.
That's right. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen, brother.
Hey, that's an exciting passage there. I appreciate you giving us a call with that tonight, Dave.
Yes, and I mean, I had a teacher today. I don't know how he did it, but somehow he made the whole thing negative. But, you know, hey.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of exciting looking forward to what God's going to do for us.
Yes, I wanted to see, what do you see in the future there part in the future, what you're talking about? What do you see there in the future?
Well, the Bible tells us a number of things that are going to happen, and not just here in Joel, as he talks about the events there, which we see echoed in the book of Revelation. For time's sake, I won't go there right now. I do have another caller on hold, but the sun being turned into darkness and the moon into blood, it doesn't mean literal blood. That means it's going to turn red like you have either during the time of a lunar eclipse, or it could also because of a lot of smoke and stuff that's in the sky that causes the moon to be kind of dark, reddish color, and the sun being turned into darkness. But whatever it is, we know that those events are going to take place during the tribulation. And then the promise in the midst of that I think, if you look at Joel chapter 2 and verse number 31 and verses 30, 31, and 32 taking place during the tribulation, this promises that people can come to Christ during the tribulation. And we see that in Revelation. There's vast multitudes of people who come to Christ during the tribulation. And then as you go into chapter 3, there's some final judgment on the nations. You can see in chapter 3, verse 1, "For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations." And I think this could be a reference to the Battle of Armageddon, the Valley of Jehoshaphat being where the Armageddon takes place.
Okay. I wanted to show you a couple things I see in this.
All right. Well, have to make it quick here tonight because we got some callers coming in, but go ahead.
But I'm a straight shooter. I don't beat around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is, what I see is the two things I see, first of all, is there's people, a lot of people have this bad imprinting of God because they've been under such bad care as far as they're concerned all their life. Like they haven't got anything at all, and everybody mm-hmm. everything. And that's that feel when everything was eaten up and they just didn't know God at all. God's showing them, if you just come to him, he'll double up. He'll give you everything you got coming and everything that you used to should have had coming, but you just didn't know him and he couldn't give it to you.
Well, and that echoes...
Second thing I see, my friend, if I may, before
yeah,
I...
go ahead.
The other thing is the future I see is the covering of the sun and the covering of the moon is covering all the gods once again of this world. And then they have to come to him because everything's going to be so covered, they can't even find their God. And God, I assure you have a good night.
All right. Well, thank you there. Appreciate the call. And I appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And you can get on tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Keith and Kent next up. And Keith, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, Pastor, how you doing?
Good evening. Welcome.
Good. This month being, I guess they call it Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay.
A little research, and I was also listening, of course, to radio over the years and that.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Ernie Sanders, learned a lot from him and all you faithful pastors. But, I think the little research there, but there's a connection definitely between the baby slaughter and the breast cancer rates.
Yeah, actually, I have seen something somewhere that did suggest that, I don't know how certain it was, but there did seem to be a tenuous connection between women who have abortions having a somewhat higher rate of breast cancer mm-hmm. than women who have not had abortions. I recall seeing something along those lines.
Yeah, I've seen rates like, I think, from maybe 30 or more percent to like maybe 600%.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, but I do recall reading some things that made that indication.
Yeah, and the Word of God says the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 100 million, at least 100 million more babies where their blood is crying out to the Lord. Their lives being taken, and then those that also kill their babies, slaughter their babies because of choice.
Mm-hmm.
The suicide rate's like about 7 times higher than the average for those.
Yeah, and the rates of depression and many other things. Mm-hmm. In fact, I can remember when I was in high school, I was in a senior in high school, and there was a girl that was in ninth grade, I recall, and she was friends of us, and we graduated from high school, and she's still was friends. I mean, I knew her from other times, knew family, and I actually worked where she lived and different things. But she was like a sister to us. And I remember one time we were all together, some friends from high school, and she was with the group, and she was very quiet that night and just not herself. And finally, toward the course of the evening, she confided into us there that she had done that, and it really affected her. And then I recall another woman when I was in the Air Force who, when she got saved, she confessed at a later date to some of the ladies in the church that she had had more than one abortion, and she felt she did not deserve to have children.
Yeah, and then these boyfriends and husbands and even parents that counsel these young women to kill their babies, you know, woe unto them for that wicked counsel.
Oh, absolutely. Know, absolutely. They're, mm-hmm. you know, party to it.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I see, God's major judgments in dropping on America, you know, death knocking at the door, you know, we're going like the nations of history. But, I believe that we've been by far the greatest nation in the past that's ever existed because of,
and that's because of God's blessing on us.
Mm-hmm. Because of the past Christians, we're living on the benefits of their godly walk with the Lord, and there's only one hope, that's for individuals to turn to the Lord and the Word of God and get right with the Lord.
Right.
And make sure you're born again. And also there's a pastor in my area, Pastor Walter Moss, who wrote a booklet called Why I Am a Black Pro-Life Pastor. And then he quotes on page 2 and 3 some statistics. 35% of abortions in the U.S., are performed on African-American women, while they represent only 13% of the entire female population in the country. And the 2006 census tells us that the black birth rate is at 1.9%, and a 2.1% rate is necessary to replace existing population. He says, there you have it, genocide, it's black genocide.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, you're probably aware, too, that Margaret Sanger, the founder mm-hmm. of Planned Parenthood, which is the biggest abortion provider in the country, she mm-hmm. believed in eugenics. And, she considered, she was along the lines of Hitler. In fact, she actually liked Hitler and really thought he was on the right track. And like Hitler, she thought that everybody else was human weeds. That was her plan, eradicate what she called human weeds. And I'm sorry, but Jesus, the Bible says, died on the cross for everyone.
Amen.
And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. That means everybody in the world. There's no such thing as human weeds. That's a satanic lie that Hitler believed that led to the slaughter, of millions of Jews and millions of others in Germany during World War II in the Nazi era. And it's also a satanic lie that's led to the slaughter of millions of babies around the world, including, those right here in this country.
Yes.
And it's something our nation has to be accountable for. And as we have turned away from God and away from his mm-hmm. word, we've begun devaluing human life. We've begun devaluing mm-hmm. We've devalued the Word of God. We've devalued mm-hmm. The true churches. We've devalued the nation of Israel. And we turn mm-hmm. our backs on these things and we go further and further. We've reached a point now where people can't even agree that an unborn baby is alive. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I tell you, we're going to reap the whirlwind, Pastor, because mm-hmm. the Lord says too much is given, much is required. We've had more light and more grace than any nation has existed. And so just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, about the works that he did, and I think Bethsaida and Chorazin, it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than it would be for Bethsaida and Chorazin. So we're going to be held to a high standard of judgment of the Lord because people are rejecting light. And so,
and Jesus took
it. Yeah, T.D. Jakes partnering up with Oprah Winfrey, the witch, and so many people following this fella, and his mega fest.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a spiritual adultery going after other lovers rather than the true and living God. So, Pastor, you keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. I was going to give you this verse mm-hmm. here, too, where Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, starting about verse 6, said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones," he's talking about children, mm-hmm. Which, believe in me, is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And then he continued on. Down in verse number 10 with take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And I've often thought You know, when the disciples tried to keep the children away from him, and mm-hmm. he says, suffer the children to come unto me, Amen. For such is the kingdom of Amen. God. And there is a teaching in the scripture that indicates that unborn children or children who die in infancy or something of that nature mm-hmm. are going to be in heaven. And, you know, that brings some meaning to that. And you see the view that Jesus, you know, took of these children. And obviously, they're human lives. And I've said it before in the program, I say it at our church as well. No matter what your position on abortion is, you're talking about the ending of a human life.
Yes.
Because if the unborn child was not alive, then you would not need an abortion. At mm-hmm. the moment of conception, you have a yeah. unique human being that comes in Amen. Into creation. God, or you know, the DNA from the father mm-hmm. and the mother come together. It's unique DNA. That that fertilized egg is different now than the mother and Amen. Different than the father. It's a unique combination of DNA. It's a new life. It's not dead or it would not grow. Yeah. You know, I studied biology. Dead things don't grow. They decay. Mm-hmm. And that fertilized egg begins to grow. It doubles, and then it doubles again and doubles again, and eventually begins to, you know, turn into various, you know, shapes and everything as the child develops. But it's just different stages of development. A newborn child looks a lot different than an adult human being. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's not a human being, although there are some that try to say that we shouldn't consider them alive until they reach about 5 years of age.
And, well, you know, there's these wicked people that they want to, well, they want to kill people of all different kind of ages and so forth. You know, the Bible says that the wicked be turned into hell. That's why people better turn to the Lord today, because you're not guaranteed even tonight.
Well, exactly. You
know? And now is the day.
And for somebody that may have had an abortion or counseled mm-hmm. somebody to have an abortion, or even that person that's performed an abortion or been part of an abortion in some fashion, they can be saved.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
The worst of sinners, if they'll humble themselves Amen. Before God, confess their sin, and believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for their sin, they can be saved, because they're part of those that God that Jesus Amen. Died for as well.
Amen.
And,
but America, just like the nations of history, we're going down as a big Titanic, you know, only one rock in place of safety, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock. So
absolutely, absolutely.
All right, Pastor, you have a good night.
Hey, I appreciate that call tonight. Thank you very much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to be on till midnight tonight, so we've got plenty of time. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we kind of touch on a number of different topics here tonight. And let me just go over to Psalm 139 here. We've got a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour break here. But in Psalm 139, and it's talking about how that unborn child is a living human being. The psalmist writes here that in Psalm 139, verse 13, he says, "For thou hast possessed me, possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them." This is clearly talking about an unborn child, even at the earliest stages, before the arms and the legs begin to form, before the features on the face begin to form, really even before the spinal cord begins to form. This is at the very earliest stages. He says that in the book, he says, all of my members were written. At the moment of conception, that unique DNA combination that comes together many things are determined about you. The color of your hair, the color of your eyes, whether or not your earlobes will hang free or be attached, whether or not you can wiggle your ears, whether or not you can roll your tongue in a tube, whether or not your eyebrows will grow together. If you don't like the fact your eyebrows grow together, well, that happened before you even had eyebrows. The upward limit on how tall you're going to be, whether you're going to be prone to be skinny or whether you're going to be prone to be stocky. All these kinds of things and more are determined in the book. And, you know, we could spend a whole program looking at DNA and the absolute incredible amount of information that's packed into that code. It is a literal language in every sense of the word that provides some of the most complex operating instructions, not just operating instructions, but the design and building instructions. It would be like an architect that designed not one building, but an entire city. And coding it all and putting it into a little speck that would fit upon the head of a pin with lots of room left over. And not only how to design and build all of the buildings and infrastructure in the city, and also telling how it would operate. The amazing depth of information that's coded in to such a concentrated molecule as the DNA molecule is absolutely beyond belief. Geneticists are at least embracing a creator simply because there's no way it could have happened by chance. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got another half hour. Stay tuned and join us. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, good evening. Welcome to the second half of our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you till midnight here tonight on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzone, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese, and a whole lot more in addition to pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights right across from the high school there at 4889 Turney Road. That's, as I said, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5 there at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And if you're interested in getting into your own pizza shop yourself, maybe, like to get into the business, start a business for yourself, why not call Gus at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights and ask him how he can help you get set up in your own pizza shop. And it's 216-341-9100. And you'd be surprised at how little it would actually cost if you're looking for something to start a business of your own. Or if you're just looking for a pizza, call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. Let's go ahead and get back to our program tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have John from Akron on the line. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, sir. Got a real quick question. I was witnessing to a friend of mine today, it was the other day, and I was taking him through the Romans Road, and he had a question that I can't answer.
All right.
And his question was that he said he was reading the book of Revelations, and he's reading about how Satan and his followers were cast out of heaven.
Right.
And he said, if God is so powerful, why did God not just snap his fingers and end everything right then and there? Why go through all this of sending his son to die on the cross for us? And I've never had that question asked for me before, and I didn't know how to answer it.
Well,
and I've been waiting for a week to call you so I know how to answer that question for him.
Well, that is a good question, and a lot of people have actually wondered about that. Why didn't God just end it right there? Because I believe that the Genesis account of creation, I believe in the young earth creation, and I believe that God created the heaven and the earth in that first 6 days there, the literal Genesis account. And in that, when God created the heaven and the earth, I think that's when he created the angels. We have the angelic beings, of which, the devil is a fallen angel, as well as the other fallen angels that rebelled against God. And then later he created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. And the angels, as well as Adam and Eve, he gave a free will to. And when Lucifer led a rebellion against God, and we don't know exactly when it was that it took place, I don't think it was on the first day or the second day or the third day or the fourth day or the fifth or sixth day. There's some implication that it would have been after that first week. I'm pretty sure it was. But God could have prevented a lot of things, one would think, humanly speaking, by simply destroying the devil. But, and likewise, when Adam and Eve sinned, he could have just destroyed Adam and Eve and started again, one could think. But I think there's more to it than that, because I believe that God created the angels as well as the human beings with free will so that we could choose to, follow him or choose not to, choose to obey him or choose not to, choose to love him or choose not to. And God, knowing, the beginning from the end, I believe understood that the only way that for eternity in the future, this is after the events of Revelation, after the tribulation, after the millennial reign of Christ in the future, for all eternity, the only way to prevent another rebellion such as Lucifer's rebellion from taking place or like Adam and Eve from taking place while his creation still having free will, the angels and the humans, is that we had to be able to see the consequences of choosing wrongly. You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Let me go over to, Revelation, toward the end of Revelation. I think I'm looking at about chapter 14, I think. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. This is after we see the fall, the devil being kicked out of heaven. This is after the Antichrist, and here it is. Yeah, Revelation chapter 14. And look here in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 9. It says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb." And notice verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." And this is a description of the lake of fire that we see just a few chapters later in chapter 20, where it says in chapter 20 and verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And then we see the dead stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And it says in the end there in verse 15, "And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In the next chapter, chapter 21, in verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death." See, a big difference between the original creation when God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and this new heaven and new earth that we see in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, is for all eternity, the smoke of the lake of fire ascends up forever and ever. And the angels, and no doubt humans, will be able to see that there's a place called the lake of fire, which is the ultimate end of those that have rebelled against God, those that have rejected God. And if you think about it, how could the devil have even thought that he could overthrow God's throne, that he could take God's place? And we've talked about it at our church, and we have a Friday night Bible study where we actually cover some stuff like this every once in a while, where we can spend some time talking about it. But and this is somewhat speculation on my part, but when the devil was created, when Lucifer was created, I believe he may have been the first angel that God created. And when he came into existence, he was fully formed. And let's suppose for just a moment that Lucifer was able to see, say, Michael the archangel, Gabriel, and the other angels come into existence immediately after him. Now, all he would know is that when he came into existence, he was fully formed, and he was fully aware, just like Adam was when Adam was created. Adam was created by God, and when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. He wasn't like an infant that had to be taught. He was fully aware. He was fully mature in his mind, in his thinking, in his intellect, and all of that. And so Lucifer, perhaps, got the idea that maybe God actually came into being just before he did and told him that he'd always been there. How would anybody know? Nobody came in. Nobody was created before him or came into being before him. Maybe that's something that Lucifer eventually deceived himself. We don't know, but we do know that God gave Lucifer free will, just like he gave to Adam. And he wanted Lucifer and all the angels to choose to love him and obey him. And he wanted Adam and Eve and all their descendants to choose to love him and obey him. And he wanted it to be a choice. But to have a choice to do something, there has to be a valid choice to do nothing. And, you know, you can't put somebody in a room with only one exit and say you're free to leave the room any way you want to. No, they're not. There's only one way they can leave the room. There's no choice. They don't have free choice in how they leave the room. But if you give them two potential exits, now they have free choice. So we had to have the choice to obey or disobey. And I believe God in his wisdom understood that if he just created somebody else with free choice, destroyed, you know, Lucifer and the angels that fell, wiped out Adam and Eve and created a new human race, that eventually somebody else would have chosen the wrong thing again. But by virtue of this you know, time that we're in right now, from the time of Lucifer's rebellion and then Adam and Eve's fall until the time of the great white throne judgment, when all those that have rebelled against God are cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, we will have this time of history to look back on and know beyond a shadow of a doubt the ramifications of rebelling against God and the cost of sin. See, prior to the history that the human race has been through and the history that Lucifer and the fallen angels have been through, nobody knew the ramifications of sin. It was all kind of academic. Now it's well known. And then in eternity in the future, we'll have this history to look back on. Plus, there'll be the physical presence of the lake of fire with the smoke of those who are in it ascending up forever and ever. And there will always be a reminder of the awfulness of sin and the cost of sin. And if God had just destroyed everything he created and started again, that reminder wouldn't be there. And I think God in his wisdom knew that it could very well happen again. And this was the only way to prevent it, because the Bible indicates that in eternity future, none of the angels will rebel against him. And all of the people that are there will be those that have accepted him, and they will never rebel against him again. Hopefully, that was something that helps you out with that answer.
Yeah, that's how I understand that answer. I've been saved since 1985, so I understand that answer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be making him understand that answer. So
yeah,
and understand. So
and it is a complicated thing, because, you know, a lot of people who are atheists or agnostic, one of the first things that they'll say oftentimes is, well, if God is so good, why does he allow suffering, pain and suffering? But he's allowing us to experience the consequences of our bad choices. And,
right,
you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God, and these things came into the world as a direct result. And these things do point us to Christ and the need for a Savior. And so people get saved oftentimes as a result of these things. And like I said, I think these things are necessary so that in eternity in the future, nobody will make the same mistakes again that Lucifer made or that Adam and Eve made.
Right.
So
yeah, because he asked me, he said, well, what if your Bible's not real? What if all this is just, you know, not, I said, if that's the case, then I have nothing to lose. But if everything that's going on that I know to be true is true, I'm going to have everything to gain.
Oh, and that's a very good point.
That I have.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because that's what Pascal said. It's called Pascal's wager. If the word of God is true and you follow it and you die, you've gained everything. And if the Bible is true and you reject it and you die, you've lost everything. If the Bible is false and you follow it, you've lost nothing. You know, if you die and that's all there's nothing after you die, you've lost nothing. You had a good life, but you lost nothing. And if the Bible is not true, you know, what have you really lost? So I guess if you were somebody who wanted to engage in betting, you would have to say the safest bet is to follow the Bible, because if it's true, I gain everything by following it, and I lose everything by not following it. Of course, you can't follow God by making a bet. You have to be convicted of your sin and the truth of God's word. And there's plenty of evidence for the Word of God, because on a related subject, people will say, well, how do I know the Quran's not the Word of God or some other religious books? Well, there's the variety of types of evidence in the Bible. There's the scientific evidence, the historical evidence, the prophetic evidence, things that have been prophesied that took place exactly as prophesied. So many things that the Bible has that it shows that it makes sense to believe the Bible is the Word of God. So you're absolutely right.
So I will keep you informed on this and let you know how it goes, and I'll just keep working on him. Hopefully I can make him understand this answer, and we'll go from there.
Well, and keep praying for him.
Oh, most definitely.
Because that's what we need to do. We need to pray for people that God will give them understanding and open their eyes to the truth of God's Word. And, you know, when you think about it, God isn't expecting us to believe the Bible blindly. He's given us plenty of evidence. You look at the world around us, just like the psalmist said in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I mean, I was talking about DNA in the last half of the program, and the absolute incredible amount of information that's coded into the DNA molecule that cannot have happened by chance. It goes against the laws of probability. It goes against the laws of physics and just so many things. It shows the handiwork of God, and it makes it reasonable to believe that God exists and that God's Word is true. So keep praying for him and keep sharing the Word of God with him.
I will do that. Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, I appreciate the call tonight. Thank you very much. And of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I'd like to encourage you in that. An example that I've given before, talking about some of the accuracy of the Bible, I like this one because, you know, people say, you know, how do I know the Bible versus, the Quran? A lot of people think the Quran is the perfect book, the Word of God. And the Quran says that Alexander the Great heard that the sun set in a muddy spring and that he actually traveled and found the muddy spring where the sun set. And there were people who lived there. That's in the Quran. And then, of course, somehow it went through the earth, I guess, and popped up in another place. And see, if that's scientifically accurate, then we ought to be able to see that happening today. And I don't think anybody at NASA has identified the sun suddenly shrinking down every day, dropping into a muddy spring, and disappearing. And, you know, that's not scientifically accurate. It's just like the ancient Roman and the Greek thought that the sun was, I forget who the guy's name was, Helios, I think, that he had a fiery chariot, and he would get it out of the stable in the morning, and fiery horses and chariot, and he would ride across the sky from the east to the west, and at the end of the day, he would stable his horses and his chariot, and then the next morning, he'd take them for another run. And, you know, just that's how they explain the sun. Well, we know that's not true either, but there in Psalm 19, the Bible says this about the sun. It says, talking about the sun, it says, and I'll start in the middle of verse 4 here of Psalm 19, it says, "In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof." Well, the sun has a tabernacle. It's at the center of the solar system, and it's located in one of the spiral arms of the Milky Way galaxy. The sun isn't just wandering around out there someplace. It has a set dwelling place in the Milky Way galaxy and at the center of our solar system. So there it is. The Bible says that. I'll say, well, wait a minute. What about that bridegroom coming out of his chamber running as a strong man to run a race? So the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, he's dressed in his finest, bright clothing. Well, the sun certainly is bright when it shows up here in northeastern Ohio. Sometimes we wonder where the sun's gotten off to at times. It gets a little cloudy and overcast, especially this time of year. But it says he runs as a strong man to run a race. Now, let me hold that thought for just a moment and jump down to the next verse where it says, his going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. You know, the sun right now is moving at about 13 miles per second in a orbit that takes it around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Now, I don't know about you, but 13 miles a second is awful fast. And the sun is moving at that speed around the Milky Way galaxy. That's a great circuit from one end of the heaven to the other. And then let's get back to running. Rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. A race implies there's others with him, and there are other stars that are in the Milky Way galaxy, and some of them in the spiral arm that our sun dwells in. And those stars are also in a great circuit running around circle around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And some of them are going faster than our sun, some are going about the speed of our sun, and some are going slower. It's like watching a race. Some are overtaking our sun, some are passing it, some are lagging behind. Our sun's overtaking some of them. Strong man running a race. It seems to correspond with the scripture, doesn't it? Well, that to me sounds a lot more likely than a guy jumping in a chariot of fiery horses and a fiery chariot and riding across the sky from the east to the west. That seems to make a lot more sense to me than the sun shrinking down and dropping into a muddy spring. You know, the Quran records that Alexander the Great went there and saw the people and saw the place where it happened. If he could find it in his day, well, surely with satellites and all the things that we have today, we could find it. But I don't think anybody's come up with it. But you know what? When I read the Bible, there it is. There is a perfect example in Psalm 19 of what the sun does. You know, I think science properly founded and understood underscores the Bible, supports the Bible, just like the historical accuracy of the Bible. And all of these things prove to us that it's reasonable to believe that the Bible is God's word. And if it's reasonable to believe that the Bible is God's word, then it's reasonable to believe that it means what God sent it for. It's reasonable to believe the gospel message. It's reasonable to believe, just as our caller was talking about the Romans road, when the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, because of Adam's choice in the Garden of Eden. Sin came into the world and the condemnation of death as a result. And not just physical death, but eventually spiritual death. We were talking previously about the lake of fire. And that's the second death, the Bible says. That's eternal death in the lake of fire. But we can escape that when we realize the Bible, which is God's word, tells us that Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh, willingly came into this world where he lived a perfect and holy life. And he went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sins. Our sin demands a sacrifice. Jesus made that sacrifice for us. He literally became our sin sacrifice, mine and yours. And if you believe that, then you can turn to Christ today and you can trust him as your Savior. Just simply believe in your heart that you've sinned, but that Jesus paid for your sin with his blood on the cross. He died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. God won't turn you away if you'll confess Christ as your Savior today. I hope you'll do so if you've never done that. And we're out of time today. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220, The Word, or Salem Communications.